gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 15 of the Truly Schmitty Podcast. I am your host, Jacob Schmidt, and with me, of course, as always, my executive producer extraordinaire, Max Holiday. And this is for the week of June 30th, 2015. And in studio tonight, as my guest host, talking about all that is sports, is the incomparable, immortal survivor, the guy, the man that does it all. He's literally involved in every aspect of any type of artistic endeavors. JT Simmons is in studio with me tonight.
Hello, little man. I do voices, if you haven't figured it out. Did I show you the watch? You don't want to know where I'm keeping it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I fooled you. We actually have Christopher Walken in the studio tonight.
We're going to plug the apocalypse. And my next movie, we're going to have yet a remake of one of my all-time greatest films. We're doing The Deer Hunter again. But, you know, I'm old, so it'll be more fun.
You know what I was hoping for? I was hoping that we were going to get Balls of Fury too, because that was what I remember you from.
Ping pong. Or, as the Chinese like to say, ping pong.
Oh, Christopher Walken.
Love that movie.
Yes.
Love it.
But ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Chicago sports fan, it has been an interesting past few days. we've gotten a lot of just weird and random stuff from the Chicago Blackhawks making a blockbuster trade for one of their stars, Brandon Saad, was dealt today. You have Bob Costas going off on Pedro Strop for no good reason whatsoever. Talk of Chicago Bulls and deals that they're trying to make. And I'm going to even talk a little bit of White Sox, because Kenny Williams, the president or vice president of baseball operations, kind of making a weird statement about his work with the White Sox with accordance to Rick Hahn. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in our show today. But let's get to it first. Chicago Blackhawks, the Stanley Cup champions,
yes,
made a blockbuster. Well, I guess we call it blockbuster trade. They traded Brandon Saad, who was quote unquote from their free agency this year, the number one priority signing to bring back this year. But from everything that's been reported, there was an issue with that. And the Chicago Blackhawks were trying to make a 2-year quote unquote bridge deal to try and get them to where they'd have more cap space available. Brandon Saad wanted to get paid, and he wanted $6.5 million a year over 6 years. And he really wasn't going to settle for anything less. And in my opinion, you know what? I can't blame him. He's 22 years old. He's already won 2 Stanley Cups. You know what? Yeah, go get your money while you can. You've already had your victory.
He's earned the right to ask for more money. He's certainly made the plays. He's certainly been a very pivotal player for the Blackhawks. You know me. I live here. I love the Blackhawks. The Hawks are not my team. So I'm almost, I don't want to say objective about it, because that's not quite accurate, but I can look at things, I think, a little less rose-colored than some people. I think Brandon Saad absolutely should be getting more money than he's paid. Absolutely. Guy's made how many great plays, and how prominent was he for the Hawks in the playoffs? Guy did so much. Not even disputing that. But to ask $6 million a year for, what was it you said, 6 years or something like that they were talking?
From what I understand, he was asking for $6.5 million over 6 years, was something that I was reading today, or something I heard on the radio. And, you know, he's probably going to be a very good NHL player. I don't think he's ever going to be a superstar player.
For that kind of contract length, he would have to have been, he'd have to have been more Jonathan Toews. And it's not a knock at him. Like I said, he's a phenomenal player. He's very crucial in a lot of play development. But he's not the linchpin. He's not the captain. He's not the assistant. You know, he's not the top of the food chain. And I think, like, going back, and this shows my age here, going back to like when the old Blackhawks, you know, you had Belfour, you had Chelios, you had Roenick.
Right.
And then you had a couple other guys like, you know, Sullivan or, you know, he might have been one of those guys back then. Right. He wasn't. And he even was, then, when it came time, the Hawks, they traded Belfour. They traded Roenick because it was ridiculous some of the money those guys wanted.
And what the speculation was, if there was going to be a deal to be made this summer or this year that wasn't a Patrick Sharp or, right on the tip of my tongue,
Corey Crawford?
No, well, Corey Crawford was the name that was expected to be moved.
Yeah, everyone thought they were going to dump
Bickle.
Crawford.
That's
yeah.
the other guy I was thinking of, Brian Bickle. If either of those guys weren't moved, they figured Corey Crawford would be next.
Yeah, everyone wants... I don't know why half the Chicago fans want Crawford gone.
Because Chicago fans are stupid. And that's the thing. When you're Homer fans, you tend to be stupid. And they don't... All they see is when Corey Crawford messes up. They don't see when Corey Crawford actually goes out there and... Corey Crawford gave up, I think it was 5 goals in the last 4 games of the playoffs, or even less than that.
Ultimately, it's a combined team effort. You can't dump it all on Crawford, just like you can't put it all on Kane or Taze or Sharp when they win. You can't do that.
And when Corey Crawford has a shutout or has a game like that, you can't put it all on him either because it's a defense in front of him stopping goals.
Yeah, the guys are making the plays to keep the puck away from his net, which helps out more.
But that's the thing. When you look at this team, that's where their strength is. Their strength is in their lines. There's, you know, you've got Kane, you've got Taves, your true superstar players, your Marian Hossa, who's another superstar player, and Duncan Keith, who's the best defenseman in the league.
He's, again, one of those linchpin players I was talking about.
The top 4 lines of this team, there's good players on every line.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, they're going to be sad that Brandon Saad's gone. But what's that mean? That means Teemu Teravainen's got to step up and play a bigger role. That means Andrew Shaw's got to get his deal and play a bigger role. That means that other guys that are coming up from AHL have to play a bigger role. Because... The Blackhawks aren't going to stop rolling. They're close to a deal with Kruger. They're about to sign him back for their second or third line center.
Which would be really good to have on the team again.
They're hoping that Brandon Richards will take, Brad Richards will take another 1 or 2 year deal with a shorter or low amount contract, because that's what he did. He took a short contract, a low paying contract, to win another championship.
Right. He wanted to stay on a team that he knew was going to win, which, you know, I wish more players were that selfless, because they're putting everybody else ahead of their own gimme, 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 mine.
This is what I kind of look at it as, and this is one of the things that I'd actually heard and agreed with listening to 670 The Score today. Jason Goff was talking about it. When guys are young, yeah, go get your money so that way you're set for life. But when you get older and you have that chance to play on a championship team, yeah, you're probably going to take, you know, the difference between $5 million and $3 million and playing for a team that's going to be miserable all year or playing with the Stanley Cup champion, you're going to take that chance and run with that team to go get the cup. And that's exactly what a lot of these guys are doing to get on the Hawks. Because I'm sorry, as much as people want to say there's other great teams out there, and I'm sure there are, the Blackhawks with Kane and Taves, those are two of the top 10 players in the NHL, and this team is going to be viable no matter what for years to come.
There are other great teams. I think the Hawks, especially having been declared a dynasty, Hawks are going to be dangerous for every NHL team for the next 2 to 3 years for sure, unless they majorly blow it with trades, which is always a possibility. But like you look at, for example, Winnipeg, the Jets, another very young team. I mean, the Hawks are on average not necessarily the youngest in the NHL, but they're certainly not the oldest players.
Right.
They're a good, you know, Winnipeg's got a great young team. Anaheim, my team, you know, they're one of those older teams, like I said, as far as average ages and stuff, but they're still a viable threat.
Right.
Even Tampa Bay, I mean, again, assuming they don't screw it up and trade people away and whatnot, which they probably will, you know, they could be another viable threat. There's a lot of, and there's teams like, for example, Nashville. Nashville's been great for so many years that they're still going to hang in there.
Yeah, and they're that team that's at the very good echelon that just can't, they always seem to get stuck with the team that's on fire when they go into the playoffs. And they've been caught by the Blackhawks a couple of times in that position.
But it all ends up cyclical anyway, because, I mean, for a long time the Hawks were great, and then they weren't for ages, and now they're great again.
And that's what it is with most teams. I mean, you look
Colorado's in a cold spot, so to speak, but a bunch. But Colorado's going to come back at some point.
You know what?
Colorado, I would not be surprised to see the Islanders make a move or two in the next couple seasons.
Colorado had a very good team last year, and that was one of the teams that I remember giving the Blackhawks fits because they played the same type of game the Blackhawks played, and the Blackhawks are great when they're able to run the ice. That's when they're the most dangerous, when they're able to get those forwards moving up the ice and getting into their own zone and being able to put the puck on net. And that's what Colorado did very well, and that's one of the things that drove those guys nuts. So
that's what the Ducks have done consistently for the past couple years too. That's why I don't want to call it a rivalry because it's really not, but when you look, the Ducks and the Hawks play each other, whether it's in, you know, on the pond or down at frickin', you know, I still call it Chicago Stadium, but the United Center.
Yeah.
You know, either of those games, the place is packed with fans for both teams because both teams play very similar, aggressive, forward-thinking hockey.
Right. And that's the thing. The Western Conference, in my opinion, is definitely the best conference in hockey.
Way stronger.
The Kings, the Ducks, the Blackhawks, you're starting to see teams like the Wild making plays now, and a lot of these teams are starting to bubble up. The St. Louis Blues are always involved in it. Yeah. Those type of teams, they're always going to be there, and it's fun hockey to watch because they're constantly going at each other. It's physical hockey. It's fun hockey.
And I think over the next couple of years, some of those guys from the West are going to get traded over East, and then you're going to see the resurgence of teams like the Islanders or
the Rangers, I think, they had a very good year.
Winnipeg will come. You know, Winnipeg's young. They're still a very viable threat. I cannot rave enough about the Jets.
Canada needs a hockey team in the playoffs.
Because and the Jets are, you know, they're probably the even unless the Maple Leafs pull off a miracle.
They're so bad this year. And here's a funny thing that I remember listening about the Blackhawks, because when they were having their issues during the regular season, there was all this talk about Coach Q leaving the Blackhawks and going to Toronto to save his hometown franchise. Sorry to say, Coach Q isn't going anywhere for the foreseeable future.
He's staying put, and that's a great thing to hear.
It's
a great thing to hear.
It's good. The one thing that I'm more of a new hockey fan. While I followed hockey for a long time, I was always a huge fan with the Roenick and the Chelios.
What I call the golden era.
Even through the 90s when you had guys like, was Doug Martin on the team? No. Tony Amani.
That was way before the 90s. Tony Amani and them were.
No, that was late 90s, early 2000s. You're right, that was Amani. You know, I followed those teams, but they weren't on TV.
No, you didn't hockey in the 90s, you didn't get on TV. Oh, you had to go live or read the papers or something.
Yeah, and that's... And
I loved going back then because that's when... It's almost like... And I'm sure people have seen this with baseball. You get the fair weather bandwagoning. Mm-hmm. Hockey like that has been the big bandwagoning. Oh, let's watch hockey because it's cool. Let's watch... And it almost kind of pisses me off. It's like, you know... Where the fuck have you people been for the past 25 years? I'm 37, and, you know, I remember getting into hockey, you know, as a kid learning peewee, really as a teenager starting to follow the sport being in. And
see, like for me, where I grew up at, we didn't have hockey as a sport to play.
Right.
We didn't have those. So, like for me, when I was growing up, it was basketball. I played basketball 6 years in elementary school. I played it when I got to junior high. That was what my sport was. So that's why during that time, you know, Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, those were the guys. That was where we were looking at. But we'll get back to a little bit of hockey talk. I'm going to go ahead and just, since we've been rambling about the Hawks here now for most of this, I'm going to mention what the Hawks got back, or actually what the full trade was.
Yeah.
Chicago dealt Brandon Saad and prospects Michael Peliota and Alex Broadhorst to Columbus. In return, they receive Artem Anisimov, Mark O'Dano, Jeremy Morin, Corey Trope, and a 2016 fourth-round pick. Not huge names, but those are going to provide depth for the Hawks. And that's really what the Hawks need now.
The Hawks need the depth. They're younger players, which will help develop too, which, well, not all of them are younger players, but... That'll help. And everyone's like, oh, a fourth round draft pick. Well, Columbus isn't exactly the greatest team. Columbus usually finishes pretty badly. So a fourth round pick from Columbus, even, you know, it's probably a very early fourth round pick. So yeah, some of the best players might not still be around by the fourth round, but you're still getting a pretty decent pick, Ron, at the early fourth round.
Here's what the centerpiece of the deal was Mark O'Dano. And I don't know much about him, but he's a 20-year-old Slovakian. He was the 27th overall pick in the 2013 draft. So he's a first-round pick.
Yep.
He had 21 points this last season in just 35 games.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's a good player on ice. He's one of the few things Columbus had going right for them. And they traded him away to get Brandon Saad and a couple other more seasoned players. And the kid's only been playing, what, 2 years? He doesn't have a lot of seasoning or ice time.
And the highest paid player that's coming off this deal is Anisimov. He's 27. He's making $3.2 million.
Yeah.
So that right there, you're adding a couple players in depth on the team. So maybe that's a free agent you don't have to go sign now. You were able to get that for Brandon Saad. And the Blackhawks were smart. They didn't actually have to pay Saad any money. They made this deal before free agency came up.
Yep.
So now it's the Blue Jackets' problem dealing with trying to get him signed.
Yep.
And I'm sure it won't be an issue.
Columbus is going to cough up the money because they wouldn't agree to it if they didn't want him.
Well, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and we're take a few minutes. Just once again, reminder, you are listening to the Truly Schmitty Show for the week of June 30th, 2015. You can follow us at hpn247.com. hpn.listen2myradio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Holiday Special, my executive producer, Max Holiday, on Twitter. Myself personally at Jacob_H_Schmidt. And the new Truly Schmitty podcast Twitter account at Truly Schmitty. That's two T's, no D's. Get it right. JT, do you have a Twitter follow? Or?
No, I avoid Twitter like the herp. I steer clear of that, man. That crap follows you everywhere, and you don't want none of that. I leave it alone like herpes, man. I don't mess with that stuff.
Well, we're going to go ahead. We're going to switch gears a little bit. I think we had a really good Blackhawks talk. Maybe we'll bring it up a little bit more in the next
podcast. Very passionate about my hockey.
Well, that's great. I love that because I love talking hockey. It's good to know somebody that actually has more of a feel for hockey and can actually give me a little bit more of a sounding board because that is my weakest of the major four sports, even though I do love watching it. But we're going to go here. We'll talk a little bit of Chicago Cubs. And
not my team.
Not my team either, but I do enjoy watching what they're doing this year. They've got a young nucleus that seems like it's going to be taking on the world, and they're going to be good for a while. What's I'm not talking about is actually their play on the field. What I'm talking about is somebody who's going to be going in the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster. Somebody who's covered everything from baseball to basketball, football,
hockey,
done it all. I mean, he's covered everything for NBC Sports.
Oh, yeah.
And talking about Bob Costas.
Bob Costas actually covered a WrestleMania, if I remember correctly.
That is correct. And I completely forgot about that. So this is truly a man after my own heart. Pedro Strop, Chicago Cubs relief pitcher, recently had a very rough outing.
That's putting it mildly.
A few nights ago. And Bob Costas decided to go ahead and when Pedro Strop was being taken out of the game, Pedro Strop was doing his normal, he taps the chest and points to heaven. A lot of baseball players do it. A lot of athletes in general do it. And Bob Costas decided that he was going to comment on this and we're going to go ahead and play that for you.
Mott is on his way in. Strop is on his way out, pointing toward the heavens. We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Ouch. That still fucking cracks me up.
Oh my God. And it's funny to listen to as a fan, but could you imagine if you're Pedro Strop's family watching that at home? Or... I couldn't even imagine like what.
Maybe it's me because I'm a dick, but if I'm related to him and I'm watching that, I'm still laughing because goddamn it, that's funny.
I laughed about it when I first.
It's mean, but it's funny.
And it's truly one of those things you hear it and you almost have to think to yourself as if it's something that you really heard. Was it satire from something else? I mean, but the fact is that Costas just pretty much straight up said this guy is bad. Hopefully that he gets some help from the heavens. Almost reminded me of. Major League with I can't think of the big Cuban going out there with
Jobu.
Oh yes,
Jobu and
oh my Jobu. Goodness!
You telling me Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
And
which I always found funny because I'm sitting here going, I don't think Jesus can get off the wood to pick it up.
Oh, ouch.
I know I'm going to hell for that. Oh, well, wait, on the laundry list of shit I'm going to hell for, I don't even think that makes the radar.
Yeah, I think we're going to be joining you. I think we'll definitely be company. But
dude, I'm taking over the throne. I don't know what y'all got planned.
You know, it just, it shocks me that, and from what I listen to that, you hear him almost halfway through it hesitate as almost to say, what in the hell have I gotten myself into? And I can't just stop now, so we got to go back and I got to finish this crap off. So
you'd agree with that, right, Max? He just totally like balked, like, oh shit, I'm not supposed to finish this.
Oh man, it's just, it's amazing to just hear that. It's like a drop almost. He's like, oh, asking for help from somebody in heaven. I know I shouldn't be saying this shit. Damn it. Oh, I got to make an apology now. And from what I heard, I was listening to the radio this morning, and he actually did go and find Pedro Strop and apologize to him man-to-man. The whole gist of it was there was a misunderstanding, and Pedro Strop understood, and they shook hands and a big old pat on the back and a how do you do, good day. All well and fine. I mean, that's expected almost that you're going to get that because it's sports and everybody's got to get along and, you know, you got to have that, work relationship or whatever you want to call it.
The ever classic, go apologize or you're fired.
Basically. And then leading into that, I'm going to go ahead and read you a little bit of what, Bob Costa said to the Los Angeles Times, Chuck Shulkin. This is part of the quote. We live in an age of faux outrage, of disproportionate outrage, Costa said. Everything is shocking, over the top. He savaged Pedro Strop. I mean, come on. Let's get a handle on this. I could have done better and I will apologize, but that's just internet stuff. I'm going to take care of it the same way I would have taken care of it if it was 1986, and that is going to be that. Yeah.
Sounds to me like Bob Costas is a little pissed at some of the other journalists.
Yeah, and not taking accountability for what he truly said. Because, granted, it's not the worst thing that's ever been said on air.
I'm sorry, again, maybe this is me being an asshole, but I really don't think that's all that highly offensive. I mean, yeah, he's ripping the guy for a bad performance, and yeah, he probably definitely should have said something a little bit better than that, but it's also not sitting there going, this guy, you know.
Yeah, I think it's just there's better ways as if you're going to combat that to handle it than going out and trying to blame other people for what's going on.
Well, yeah, he did say he was going to apologize and handle it like he would have handled it normally. He admits he did something wrong and he's going to take care of his mistake, and he admits that. But he's also right in the context of everyone blows shit way out of proportion. Oh, my God, he said what? Oh, you can't say that. Oh, my God.
Which is true, too, because I will admit that you make a mistake on the internet and you tend not to hear the end of it. And
it's not like he's Brian Williams over there going, oh, I was there when this happened.
Right.
I actually, you know, I went over.
Well, you know, Brian Williams was catching Pedro Strop that night, right?
He was helping him warm up in the bullpen. Right, he was there.
He gave him the signal on that last pitch before he was begging for forgiveness from heaven.
Is that what that was?
Oh, man.
I thought he was actually begging Brian Williams for forgiveness because that's the way he tells the story. I saw it on, ABC or NBC? I can never get them right.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. Brian Williams is on all the broadcast stations.
That's true. He knows everybody. He was there.
But it just amazes me that he... It amazes me that, for one, everybody's taking this way out of proportion. For the other part of it, the fact that it was said, it's just, it's hilarious. And I guarantee this weekend, there's probably going to be a spoof of it on Saturday Night Live. I can almost guarantee that's going to be something that's going to be happening pretty soon.
Or he'll do it again to make fun of himself. Like he'll, because Costas can take a joke with the best of him. He's got a sense of humor. He'll probably make some fun of himself. Like, I was listening to my own broadcast, and I had to pray to my dead ancestors that I don't ever do something that stupid right. again, you know.
And that's the thing. You know, in life and everything else that we've got going on, people make mistakes.
Like, Bob Costas is one of the best broadcasters of the 20th century. I mean, in my opinion, he's up there with, you know, freaking Johnny Carson and, you know, guys that actually... took their jobs seriously and put their, you know, effort into their work. I mean, Carson was a great stand-up comedian, but he was also, you know, he made sure to get his interviews and talk about stuff that people wanted to talk about in addition to the stuff that the studios wanted talked about, and always gave, you know, what was the best for, you know, his audience. You know, you look at some of the other news reporters and stuff from like way, way back in the day, and those guys all, you know, they all took their reporting very seriously, fact-checked, unlike now where everyone's just like, oh, TMZ, Snopes, blah, 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 we're good.
Right. And here's what I think we'll switch gears a little bit. And another kind of, I guess, controversy, if you want to call it that, on the south side of town. Kenny Williams, the vice president in charge of baseball operations, recently had a press conference talking about the woeful 2015 White Sox season.
And it's not a good season for us. I'll admit it. It's
no. And there was a lot of expectation.
We suck.
There was a lot of expectation with the signings of Adam LaRoche and Melky Cabrera, Jeff Samardzija trade. The White Sox were expected to be contenders.
Samardzija was expected to perform a lot better than he has.
Right, but history tells us that he's not the greatest pitcher in the world. He didn't.
No, he's not. He had one good season, and everyone's expecting, right. You know.
He's a third starter, is what he really is. But we're going to talk about, here's what Kenny Williams said concerning his relationship with Rick Hahn, the general manager, and what is the way things are handled in the organization. And I was looking for a direct quote, but the basic gist of what Kenny Williams had said was that everything goes through me. Everything is filtered through me in either direction. If something needs to be said to the chairman, Jerry Reinsdorf, it goes from Rick Hahn to myself to the chairman. In the reverse order, if Reinsdorf wants to say something to Rick Hahn, it goes in reverse order. Any trades, anything being done, goes through Kenny Williams before it gets approved. What we were told as White Sox fans, when Rick Hahn took over, Rick Hahn would be in charge of everything as far as signings, coaching, whatever the case be. Rick Hahn was the man. He was the general manager. Kenny Williams was there as an advisor and somebody that was a conduit to
Reinsdorf.
Right. This bothers me because I'm excited to see what Rick Hahn actually what Rick Hahn can do. Because what we've been told for almost 10 years that Rick Hahn is going to be a great general manager and somebody that's going to lead the White Sox into a new era. And he's made some pretty good deals and made some good draft picks, but it's going to be, to me, it's a little bit disconcerting because as much as great as Kenny Williams has done, he's also had some issues along the way.
And for every good thing he's done, just something is dumb and stupid.
You look at the way that he didn't have a good relationship with Ozzie Guillen and was very negative towards Ozzie Guillen. Right. And then the other deal that I thought about too was, remember about 6 or 7 years ago, there was an issue in the Dominican leagues where one of the scouts down there was taking money from the prospects, telling them that they were signing for, let's say, $100,000. They were really signing for $150,000, and he was skimming that $50,000 off the top. That was a Kenny Williams hiring. Granted, Williams wasn't involved directly in the... They never...
I say, was he responsible for the Pudge Fisk thing, or was that beforehand?
No, that was pre... That might have been closer to when Hawk was in charge of the team.
Okay, I love the Sox. Obviously, they're my team, but I really lost faith with them when they handled the stuff with Carlton Fisk the way they did, and I was like, I kind of walked for a little bit from that. I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah, that was the one thing that the Sox have been known to do, albeit to a fault, is being very loyal to their players. Robin Ventura being manager, which
right, they've always been excruciatingly loyal. And so to see them do that to like a Carlton Fisk was like, wow, right. Not cool.
And what is just, like I said, this is a miserable season to be a Sox fan.
It is. So it's like we're the Cubs of the American League this year.
Right. And you know, the only good thing out of it, we should get a very high pick in next year's draft.
It's yeah. Hey, if we suck this bad, our draft pick's got to be at least somewhat decent because we're going to be towards the top of the order.
Right. And as what I've talked about the past couple of shows, pretty much with the exception of Jose Abreu and Chris Sale and Carlos Rodon, everybody else on this team is available. You want them, give me a price for what you want for them. There's some decent pieces that can be dealt. Guys like David Robertson, even Adam LaRoche could be dealt. Melky Cabrera, you're not going to get much back for him, but he'd definitely be dealt.
Some of the guys I think actually we need to hold on to just for the sake of, I don't think they were used properly because of other people. I think like you go back to Cabrera, you know, and some of the others, we do kind of need to trade them out just for if only for the monetary value alone, right. But also to free up the space to maybe bring up some of the drafts, or, you know, right. Maybe finagle or get a better draft pick from somebody else, or, you know, try to get around it, I think.
Right. Well, with that, we're going to go ahead and round up this episode 14 of the Truly Schmitty Show. On behalf of myself, my executive producer, Max Holiday, and my guest host, JT Simmons, we will see you on Thursday.